Unless we are going back to our Bible studies. And remember now, we are dealing with the book of Acts. And the general topic for this study is the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Ghost in the early church. And while we have not yet gone into the meat of that, of which the theme speaks, it is important nonetheless that we address all the things that leads up to that. And that is what we're going to do tonight. We have just entered into the area where the Holy Ghost fell on the believers in the upper room. And as so well read by Sister Bennett tonight, we are going to look on a few thoughts there. And among all the different things that comes as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon those 120, there are three thoughts that we'd like to share with the brethren tonight. And in sharing those thoughts, I'm going to ask you for your comment as we go along on them. But let me first ask all of us here, as we look on the book of Acts, chapter 2, what Sister Bennett just read, the coming of the Blessed Holy Spirit, to your mind, what has changed? And this is a question that I ask, and I trust that you have some comment on it. There's a thought that you'd like to share here. What has, know that he is here. What has changed? Anyone care to answer?
Could you repeat the question,
Pastor? Now that the Holy Ghost has come and he has baptized the 120 in the upper room, looking on the fact that the church door is about to open, what does his coming? What can we say as a result of his coming change in the lives of the 120 and others who will follow?
Well, they weren't afraid anymore to preach of the gospel. They were bold now to preach about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. They were hiding no more from nobody. They come out in the street and they start to speak about Jesus, which put them in a lot of problems with the Jews. So I think that what changes that they get more bold now, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't afraid to speak out. They get bold as a lion. Because the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. I think that's what has changed.
Very good, Sister Ellis. Very good. In fact, that's it. That's a main change, really. And when we look into that, we're going to broaden that thought a little bit more. But thank you very much, Mr. Ellis, for the very good welcome. But I still believe that maybe somebody else might have a thought that they would like to share in regards to what it is that changes as a result of the coming of the Holy Ghost. Well, we'll take up Sister Ellis' thought in a little while.
They spoke of the wonderful things of God.
Yes, this is there too. And while you were reading, Sister Bennett, I look on that verse 11, and it is amazing that is recorded It is amazing that that is recorded for us to have it here tonight. That particular section there, what they said, apart from the fact that they spoke in new language, but what they actually said, that was recorded for us to have it here tonight. They spoke of the wonderful works of God. I look at it, listen, not only when you were reading, but I looked at it earlier, and I said, Lord, you really pay attention to detail, because you did not leave this out. And this is something that teaches us a lot here tonight, that under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it means that the things that we will speak is things pertaining to God and the wonderful works of God. That has now become our argument, so to speak. I happen to talk to some of the brethren on a regular basis, some more than others, from the Miami Church. And you would be surprised. You would be surprised. The level of discussion pertaining to the scriptures that we enter into. We're just talking. But one passage of scripture would lead us to another one. And one experience here would take us to another level. And that happened all the time. So this is what I am saying here, Sister Benny. That it is important, amidst all the excitement, that this piece of information was not left out. That what they spoke of was the wonderful works of God. And I still believe, apart from those two thoughts, somebody else might have something that you would like to say here.
Yes,
this is the Barbara.
The 2 points brought forth is that this gospel, these wonderful works will go to the ends of the earth, not just in Jerusalem, but to the ends of the earth. For all those people that were there and heard everything, they were the witnesses. They are the ones that would go back to wherever they come from to repeat these words. That is what the Holy Spirit empowers to do. Jesus said, not only in Judea, but Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Yes.
Also in verse 12.
I'm sorry?
Verse 12. Brought about an amazement. So they were all amazed.
I'm coming to Sir Danny. Just hold your word here 1 second, please. Sister Barbara just mentioned that the ability to witness and to speak the word of God to the wider public is what is important here, what comes out of the presentation of the upper room. This too, along with Sister Elsa's thought, is what I have here today in the third segment of the three-part presentation that I'm going to make tonight. These two thoughts here, Sister Elsa's thought and Sister Barbara's thought, they are right here before me that I want to take up later on. All right, Sister Fiani, you were saying something.
Yes, I was just looking at verse 12, and it said they were all amazed, and they were in doubt. They were amazed, but they were in doubt, yeah. And they were saying one to another, "What meaneth this? What is this all about?" So they were. Very unsure at the moment, at that time, as to what is going on. But they were amazed at what they were seeing. And at the same time, they couldn't believe what they were really seeing. You know, yeah. You look at something sometimes and you're amazed at what you're seeing, and you still can't believe what you're really seeing. And it seems as if this is what happened here. They were amazed, but they were in doubt. And they were talking to one another, and they were saying, what is this all about? What's all that this? What's going on?
Yes.
You know? So, there is the answer further down.
Yes. But it was really a strange setting to serve, clearly. And we are not... the people who were amazed is not the 120. We need to bear that in mind. It is not the 120. But this company, and I emphasized this the last time that we were here, this company here, in verse 5 of Acts chapter 2, that says... And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devoted men, out of every nation under heaven. Listen to that.
Yep.
They were, and I at that time I said the reason for them coming there was an annual festival. But God in his wisdom timed the whole thing so that it coincide with the experience in the upper room, so that these people from the different parts of the world would receive the gospel here and take it back to the different places. It is all the works of God that caused this to happen at this particular point. And in our next study, we will go into this more in depth. But it is important to understand here that it was a shocking event, as Sister Fiani pointed out. It was a real shocking event because they have never heard or experienced this type of setting from any group at all. The mass people who keep coming to Jerusalem every year they would come to Jerusalem. But on this particular occasion, it was totally different because God had a plan that he wants to unfold, and he unfolded it at the right time, at the right place, with the right people. We can't put nothing past God. Because he has the ability to bring out things according to his own purpose.
Yes. The unusual was they heard, every man heard in his own language.
Yes. And I also need to say under in a little while, Sister Fiani. And so at the point is well taken, because it brings out what God had in his mind. And it was rather shocking here. But Peter's going to explain later on the whole thing. But it's just that we don't have that for study tonight, that part of it for study tonight. But this part of it is very, very important. That they were amazed to see and to hear this things unfolding right before their very eyes. But God wanted them to take back this word, the wonderful words of God that they describe here. It is the word that is being used now. The wonderful works of God. This is what God wants them to take back to their own respective places.
So as to
allow what Jesus said there in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They come from their different places, fulfilling, in fact, I have this here too, fulfilling the prophetic utterance by Jesus.
Yes. Great amazement.
I would like to look at this. Look at verse 4 and 5, Pastor. You open it about verse 5, verse 1. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the day out of 120 that were in the upper room.
Yes.
And they began to speak with other tongues. Other tongues away from what they were accustomed to. As Galileans.
Yes.
As the Spirit gave them utterance. It's the Spirit who came upon them that caused them to speak in other tongues.
Yes.
Tongues that were strange to them. They were speaking languages that the other people at verse 5 speak of could understand what they were all saying.
They didn't even know that language either.
Yes, continue, Pastor.
Yes. So we should make note that one, in obedience to the commission that was given to them by Jesus, Scripture says they were all, the word all, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what made the difference with these 120 men, all men and women, on that day.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost fell upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, which is tongues contrary to what they are accustomed to.
Yes.
So that the other people from other nations all over the world were able to understand what they were saying because they were hearing now the gospel message in their language.
Exactly, exactly. Yes. Yes.
So when it says other tongues, utterance, giving them with utterance, this is a language that is given to them by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Through the multitudes that were there. More than the
multitudes. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Bless God. Thank you, Pastor. You hear that? And I am going to look on this part of it in the second point that I will bring you tonight as well. This verse 4 and 5 here, but especially 4. I will also look on it a little bit more. But thank you, Pastor, for shining a light there on this particular passage. But if I might just say this, what has changed is Let me read a verse first. Let me read St. John chapter 14. St. John chapter 14 and verse 17. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. St. John chapter 14. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, Jesus speaking here, please bear that in mind. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus speaking to his disciples, saying that. So now, I ask a question. What has changed? And this is the first thought that we're going to share together tonight. Not only that the Holy Ghost, based on what Jesus said, is among you as the believers, but the time has now come when the Holy Ghost is in you. That's a remarkable difference. The Holy Ghost is not only among the people prior to Jesus' coming. Because at different juncture, you would hear the Bible said the Holy Ghost was not yet come. The Holy Ghost was not yet come. But now that the Holy Ghost has come, the Holy Ghost has taken up residence in the believer. And so one might ask me tonight, even without receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as it is described here in Acts, does all Christians have the Holy Ghost? You might ask that question. And I say to you 1,000 times, yes, based on what Jesus said.
Yes.
The fact that the Holy Ghost has come, the Holy Ghost has come to take up residence in the believer.
Yeah.
There's a difference in the Holy Ghost saving the believer and taking up residence, and the Holy Ghost fill the believer with power for service.
Amen.
And Jesus made it clear there, as you look closely on St. John chapter 14, verse 17. He made that clear. He shall be in you. The time is coming when he is going to be not only among you, but he will be in you.
The beginning of chapter 17 referred to Jesus as the Spirit of Truth.
The Holy Ghost is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. In more than one place, he is referred to as the Spirit of Truth because he came to bear witness to the truth. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the truth, yes. Because Jesus, the word tells us in St. John that Jesus declared, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And you will remember Jesus standing before Pilate. And Pilate asked a very important question. What is truth? What is truth? Jesus said, for this purpose, I came to bear witness to the truth. That is what Jesus said to him in answering Pilate. I came to bear witness to the truth. And before that, Jesus had declared himself as the truth. So what Jesus was actually saying to Pilate, you are looking at him. You are looking at truth.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, came to bear witness to that truth, which is the man Christ Jesus. And so when we look here now, as the church door is about to open, in Acts chapter 2, we find that these 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. And last time when we look on the word baptism, to be baptized means you are immersed. You went under the water. The word baptized means to immerse. To go under the water. And the same word is used for the filling of the Holy Ghost. Meaning your entire system, your entire faculty are immersed under the anointing of the Blessed Holy Spirit. And not only that, the Holy Spirit take up residence in every believer, whether or not they have received the ultimate gift, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every single believer who says yes to Jesus, the Holy Ghost is residing in the heart of that person.
Amen.
What does the scripture that prove that? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Listen to what it says. I read from verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now listen to this part, because this is the real clincher to the whole thing. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I don't think that can be any clearer. And it cuts across the masculine gender. It includes women too. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This does not speak to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it speaks to conversion. It speaks to repentance and be converted. If you have the Spirit of Christ, then you belong to him. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, then the word is saying to us tonight, you are none of his.
Yes.
And one more scripture on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Believers, you belong to the Lord. You were purchased, as Peter said, not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. And it is the Holy Ghost that came upon you and showed you who Jesus is, that caused you to make that decision. And therefore, having received salvation, the Holy Ghost has taken up position in your heart and in your life. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Ghost. And as Jesus said, when he comes, he's going to dwell in you. And now that he's here, It's dwelling in the heart and life of the believers.
Amen.
And I believe that is a tremendous plus for us here tonight.
Amen.
And the thing is, he is not just inside of us, sitting, doing nothing. But he is inside of us, molding us into the image of God on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because his character, the character of the Holy Ghost, need to be seen in the individual, in the believer, manifesting on a daily basis.
Amen.
But this, if you go to Galatians, if you rush over to Galatians, I just read something basically. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Listen to the character of the Holy Ghost that is living inside of the believer, molding that believer on a daily basis into the image of Christ, into the image of God. All the characters, all the attributes of the Holy Ghost is here on a daily basis, manifesting itself in the life of the believers. So, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, possibly 24. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the Spirit that lives inside of the believer. That's why Jesus said the time is coming when he is going to be in you. That is what has changed. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I like that last part of it. There is no law anywhere that can dispute these qualities that I've just mentioned. Every single one of them are embraced by the Godhead. There is no law that can come against them to say that they are not right. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the character of the Spirit that lives inside the believer. Hallelujah! I'm so glad he came.
Amen.
Brethren, we might not see all of these qualities manifesting in our lives on a daily basis, I must admit. We might not see all of them. One of them that we are not seeing for the most part is long suffering, and temperance. Most too, we are not seeing them. I mean, we seem to back off from if something is not been solved within a short space of time. We seem to give up. We have the tendency of giving up when the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering, suffer long for the cause of Christ. So I'm saying to us tonight that I am glad to know that there is a change. The believer, the Holy Spirit is not living among the believers, but instead are living in the believers. He takes up residence there. And the Apostle Paul said, knowing not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord. That's thought number one. Thought number two. The coming of the Holy Spirit unites the brethren. Unites the brethren. And I and Pastor Fiani made mention of something here in verse 4. When he said that all were filled with the Holy Ghost, that is verse 4, and began to speak with other tongues. Remember that. Not only the language that they have, but now they were given new languages. And they start to speak with speak in other language. Now, the Bible makes it clear to us that there were, in verse 5, as I go over it, there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devoted men, out of every nation under heaven. Well, I don't know how many nations were there at that time, but I know presently we have 195 countries in the world. Right as we speak, 195 countries in the world. And apart from 195 countries in the world, we have over 7,000 languages that are spoken in the world. Over 7,000 languages right now that are spoken in the world. I don't know how many languages were in the world at that time. But one thing to be clear, there were many languages that were being spoken in the world at that time. But my main reason for coming here, as I see this, and I went through the scripture, is the fact that, oh, remarkable, this fits into God's mold. Because here is a spirit that God has given to his people to start to open the church, the dispensation of grace, where Jews and Gentiles are going to be brought together in one place, where the body of Christ is going to be consist of Jews and Gentiles, having a common approach to Jesus. And God, in his wisdom, arranged things to be done in this way. I find it amazing. Because let's stop for a minute, church, and let's look back in Genesis chapter 11. What do we see there in Genesis chapter 11? We see rebellion. We see rebellion, I mean, Genesis chapter 9, after Noah landed that ark and came out of the ark and he offered up sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord said to him, multiply and replenish the earth, not only to him, but to his three sons and their wives. Multiply and replenish the earth. That is the word of, in fact, the Lord was making that statement the second time, because he made that statement in Genesis 1, I think verse 28. Be fruitful and multiply the earth. That was the command that God gave to Noah and his family. Genesis chapter 9. But instead of them, after over many years, instead of them continue to multiply and replenish the earth, go from place to place and fill the earth, what did they do? What did they choose to do? Of course, by the time they reach Genesis 11, they said, let's build a city. Let's build a city And let's build a tower that reaches heaven. Let's make a name for ourselves. Instead of spreading out and going all over the earth, let's stop in this plain, in this city, and build a tower that reaches to heaven. And God realized that they were serious. And they start building the tower. And the word tells us that God said, let's go down. Here again, the triune God involved in the lives of men. The word said, God said, let us go down and see what is being done here. And as a result, the Lord came down and saw what men determined to do. And one of the hidden agenda here, church, for them to start to build this tower, is that they learned that the world was destroyed by water. And the water covers the highest mountain. And they determined in their heart, they are going to build something to counter what God has done. They're going to build a tower. And God can always send more water if he chooses. They will be secure because the tower will be higher than any water that the Lord could send. That is the back of their thinking. But God came down. What did God do? What did God do? God saw that these people were serious. And God introduced, the Bible said, at that point, there was only one language in the world. Only one language in the world at that point. And God came down. And what did God do? God introduced multiple languages that creates confusion in the hearts of every one of those builders. Mm-hmm. And what the Bible said happened after that is that the Tower of Babel was stopped because God confused them with languages. I am saying that this God is not a God that we should play with. Mm-hmm. Not a God we should play with. I don't know for the good of it or for the bad of it, but man is exploring. Science has reached an height where man is exploring all over to the extent that man had their eyes set on Mars. Man wants to get away from what is happening on Earth. And man wants to put up a castle on Mars. The little thing that we heard is that they found something that looks like water. Looks like it can produce water from Mars. And that creates in the scientific community tremendous excitement. Because if the sign of water is on Mars, they say, it means that man can survive there too. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, they are trying to explore the possibility of putting up castle on Mars. But it's the same God that they will have to encounter with, like the people of Babel. And God's way of reaching heaven is through the gospel and the Holy Ghost. Come on, church.
Amen.
The way that man is going to live somewhere else apart from earth, if it is God's will, is through the preaching of the gospel and the coming of the blessed Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Amen.
What this happened there, the language that God introduced confused them, bring about separation. But after many years, after hundreds of years, God used the same language again to unite humanity. Can you imagine the thinking of God, friends? He's using language to confuse them because of rebellion.
Well,
he's using language to unite the people because they come through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And those who came there using and speaking different languages were able to hear these 120 speaking in their language what they did not learn, what was given to them by the Holy Ghost. What we discover, Sister Bennett, is that they were speaking about the wonderful works of God. What a God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The world that was in darkness has now come into the light of what God wants to do. They heard for themselves. Men speaking in their language. And what they were communicating was the wonderful works of God.
Amen.
Next lesson, we will go into it more as we listen to what Peter preached. But I'm saying to us now that the Tower of Babel, God stopped the work by introducing different languages. I don't remember how many languages was introduced there among the people that caused them not to be able to communicate, to continue with the building. But here we have, in the upper room, the Holy Ghost came using language.
Amen.
The church.
Satan meant for evil, God turned it to good.
To the extent that the apostle ministering in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, when he said, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Hallelujah. Whether we are Jews or whether we are Gentiles, whether we are rich, whether we are poor, whether we are black, whether we are white, we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because of what? One spirit.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. What a God. The God of God. The mind of God, which he is expressing here through his word, is amazing. It's amazing. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All the hallelujah.
The way people will get to heaven, not by building the Tower of Babel, but by obedience to God's word, be converted, baptized, and
everyone of you.
Everyone. That is the way to heaven. Hallelujah. And the third one I'd like to make tonight is the point that Jesus himself spoke of in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he said, "Ye shall receive power." Ye shall receive power. This is Sister Ellis's point. Ye shall receive
power.
Yes. Yes.
To see what you have just shared a while ago, verse 8, has seen that, what you have just taught us a while ago.
Yes,
verse 8
said, and oh, hear we, every man, yes, oh, hear we, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Hallelujah. This 120 did not know those languages. But the Holy Ghost came and he gave every man several as he chooses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it means that all of them weren't speaking the same language. They speak different language according to the visitors to Jerusalem. Every man heard and speak in their language in which they were born. Hallelujah. God has purpose that they should be here to take the gospel from Jerusalem back to their different countries.
Yes. Amen.
In amazement.
So that the word of God may spread. As Jesus said, it shall be spread to the uttermost part of the earth. Last point here. Power to witness, as we have recorded there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, you have to wait. Tarry in Jerusalem. Well, let me read the exact word. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Sister Ellis made mention that what has changed there is the fact that they received boldness. And it is so true. There is nobody else's life that this boldness has manifested than in the life of Peter. Peter, who looked and saw them ill treating Jesus, and he refused to acknowledge that he knew him, because Jesus is not fighting back. They boxed Jesus, they pulled his beard, they spat in his face, they do all sort of things with Jesus, and Peter was watching, and Peter realized that Jesus is not fighting back, and he received cold feet right there. And somebody came up to him and said, I know you. You were with him. Peter said, no, not me. Little after, somebody else came and said the same thing. And Peter said, look, I have never been with that man. I don't know him. Not too long after that, the third person came and said, yes, I know you. I saw you with him. Even your very voice and in your speech, give your way. Jesus, God, encourage my word. As to say, as to demonstrate the fact that I don't know that man. And you know something, church? You know something? Peter was right. Peter didn't know him.
Mm-mm.
Peter did not know him.
No, really.
The Jesus that Peter knew is that Jesus who would just wave his hands and everybody drop to the ground. The Jesus that Peter knew is the one that said, let's launch out into the deep for a draught. As much as we know we were out there all night and didn't catch anything, because you said so we're going. And when the reach is out there, the amount of fish that they caught start to break their boat. And they beckoned to the other friends. Their other friends came across with their boat. Their boat were overfilled. And the boat started to sink. Peter looked at Jesus and said, you and I don't belong in the same space. Peter said,
that's humility.
Lord, you know, when you read Luke 5 and say and read his experience, I mean your heart melt. Peter said, depart. Peter a big Jesus. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Can you feel the brokenhearted Peter at that point? When you look and see three boats overloaded with fishes, and he was out here all night, could not catch one. But because Jesus said that, the Jesus that Peter knew is the Jesus that said to him, when the storm was on the sea, if it is you, Lord, let me come to you. The Lord said, come, Peter. Peter find himself start walking on water as he head towards Jesus. And as he look and see the winds and the waves, and realize that he is a man, he should not be on this water. Because he takes his eyes off Jesus. He starts to sing. He was close enough to Jesus. Jesus just grabbed him. That's the Jesus that I know. Not the one who is not fighting back. And then after all of this, Peter, when the cock crowed a third time, Jesus just look around at Peter. And Peter stare in the eyes of Jesus. And it is not that Jesus wants to rebuke Peter at that moment. In the mind of Jesus, Jesus was saying to Peter, you have tried your best. You have tried your best under the circumstances. You have tried. But you have fallen short. But my prayer has saved you. Hallelujah. Long before this, Jesus said, I pray for you, Peter. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Peter went out and wept bitterly because he let down his master. After that, we find Peter stand up before the Sanhedrin council and call them murderers because they killed Jesus. Here comes the boldness, Sister Ellis. The three of Peter stood up before the Sanhedrin council and called them murderers because they killed Jesus. Neither can I can't help but speak the things that are both seen and heard. But the point I'm making here is this. What was changed since the Ellis at the right before the Lord? It's the boldness that they received, all 120 of them, because of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, you shall receive power. That is the power. You shall receive power to go out and witness. You will be able to speak about me in crowd. You will be able to speak about me at awkward times. You will be able to speak about me at times when, prior to now, you would not want to open your mouth. Sister Ellis, you understand it very well. Because you use the buses, the public buses, to do witness from time to time. You use those public buses to hand out trucks and talk to people on these buses. So you identify witness, the boldness that the Holy Ghost produces. The power for witness. Persecution came in the church according to Acts chapter 8 verse 1. Persecution came in the church and the disciples were scattered abroad. And we learn that two deacons went out. One of them were one of them went down to Samaria. Philip, thank you. Thank you, my sister. One of them went down to Samaria. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And immediately afterward, one of them went to Samaria. All the disciples stayed in Jerusalem. But the deacon, the offspring of the new trust, started to produce witnesses. And Philip went to Samaria. And the word tells us that he preached Jesus. You shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus. And the word said, the brother preached Jesus. I want, let me tell you, as I'm looking and act, I find we can't preach Mr. Biden. We can't preach Mr. Trump. We can't preach nobody else. We need to preach Jesus.
Amen.
We need to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. And what tells us that as a result of him preaching Jesus, the tremendous impact it had on the city. The Holy Ghost manifest himself through the brother's ministry. And people got saved. People with unclean spirit got clean up. People received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To the extent that they had to send for Peter and John from Jerusalem to come down there and tidy things in setting everything in order. Because then everything went wild because of the operation of the Holy Ghost in a city that turns it around. And how much of these cities here in America needs turning around? Need to be arrested by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord, in one place, ready to receive of the Holy Ghost and ready for the church door to be opened. I close off with this so much, saints. I close off with this because I'm becoming very passionate with this whole thing here. Despite all the experience and all the excitement that comes along with the introduction of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these believers to open the church on Pentecost. And I will say some more on Pentecost next study. We have been warned. We have been warned by John that we are to try every spirit. Because John 1, 1 John 1 tells us something here. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 verse 4, is it? We are told here in 1 John chapter, yes, 4. 1 John chapter 4. Listen to what it says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, it is important here that as we embrace the Holy Spirit, as we see the 120 receive the Holy Spirit, we realize at the same time that the enemy is trying to counterfeit. And the enemy is trying to counterfeit in order to defeat the purpose of God. So the apostle is warning the church as he looked through and saw what the enemy is trying to do, as we are reading here. Verse 2 said, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. He's telling us now how we should know what this, who the Spirit of God is. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And then he went on to say in verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is in the world. Have you heard that? John made sure that he informs the believer, informed the church, that the blessed Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in the heart of the believer. But there is also a counter spirit out there. But John declared to us how we are going to know the two. How we are going to know the two. Paul, in his writing to Timothy, said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, the Apostle Paul declared. John, in his writing again, in St. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 14, he said that the Word became flesh. Declaring that the God that we have, Jesus, as was said by John, he was manifested in the what? Flesh. And the Holy Spirit that bear witness to that is the right spirit. I know of a certain religion right now. They don't believe that Jesus, that God has come in the flesh. They don't believe. They don't believe. When you quote St. John to them, they have a different thing to say. People who are going around witnessing to people. So John makes it clear, amidst the excitement of the coming of the Holy Ghost, we are to be careful because the enemy is creating a counterfeit to the experience in the upper room. We will leave it here for tonight. Much more to be said, but we can't do it all at once. And I just thank the Lord for what you have shared here tonight and how we're able to look on God's Word together. To see what God is doing on our behalf. Remember, yes. The church door is just open. Just about to open. Peter is about to preach now his first sermon in the church. And we will listen to that sermon. We will see what comes from that sermon as a result of the coming of the Holy Ghost. He's going to sit in his first church meeting. So we will see all of that next time we come together. Father, we just bless your name tonight. And thank you, Lord, for your word to our hearts. It is so much, Lord God. Thank you for the clarity. Thank you for the fact that you have revealed yourself to your people. Thank you for the interest that has been generated. Thank you for the fact that you have conveyed all these truths to us. And tonight, Lord God, as we wait upon you, we look to you that you will continue to bless us in our going out and our coming. And help us that we will read more of your word to understand more of you as we give your praise and as we give your glory. In Jesus' name.